Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 18. The Bible said, and I said, of course it's Jeremiah talking to us, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning I get up, God's got something new for me. Can I just say this to you? I'm glad that he don't have to duplicate himself each day. He's got something new every morning for us, amen? He says this, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. We began this morning preaching on hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. He said in verse number 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Verse 24 says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. From verse 18 to verse 24, something takes place in the life of Jeremiah, and he's no longer saying that he is hopeless, but he is saying there is hope in the midst of what we think is a hopeless situation. Father, I love you tonight. I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd illuminate our mind. God, preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I pray that through me you would help your people tonight, and we'll give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Get on to look at this and give me just a few minutes to lay the groundwork for those that wasn't in here. But when we come to the book of Lamentations, we know that's what it is. It is Jeremiah lamenting because of the destruction of Jerusalem. The walls are lying at waste. The gates thereof are burned with fire. We know that the temple has been torn down. And it seems that the judgment of God is so strong. And it was in that day. But in the midst of judgment and in the midst of Jeremiah thinking that life may be hopeless, God steps in chapter number 3 and reminds Jeremiah that there is still a hope. And can I say this to you today? I sure am glad that there is still hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the darker the night, the brighter the morning, amen. The harder the storm, the greater the sunlight on the other side. And you may be sitting here tonight and it seems that you are in the storm of your life and you wonder where the Lord is at. I sure am glad that I can report to you tonight that standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Jesus. Amen. Whenever we looked at this morning, we reviewed chapter 3 and everything that Jeremiah talks about in chapter number 3 and what he's going through. And he talks about in verse 18 and verse 19 and verse number 20 the condition of his soul. He said, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. He said, when I remember all the bad, that's all I think about. But in verse number 21, there is a transition that takes place. Jeremiah says in verse number 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Jeremiah says, in the midst of affliction and in the midst of misery and in the midst of everything going wrong, there is some things that I can recall to my mind. And when I recall those things to my mind, I can say tonight, there is hope. Amen. Hey, again, it may seem dark, but may we recall some things to our mind tonight. And in the midst of doing that, you and I can look around tonight and say, even though it's dark, there's hope. Even though there's affliction, there's hope. Even though there's misery, there's hope. You say, preacher, you don't know the situation. Evidently, you don't know my God tonight. I'm glad there is never a situation so hopeless that God can't step in and bring hope. I thought about this. He said, this I recall to my mind. I started this morning looking at the things he recalled to his mind. Number one, I said this. He recalled his mercy to his mind. He recalled the mercies of God to his mind. He talked about how it is because of the mercies of God that we are not consumed today. And can I say to you today, amen and amen again, it is because of the mercies of God we should be consumed today. We should be in hell today. We should be living in misery today. Oh, but when I think about God and I think about the mercy of a holy God, that's why we're not consumed. We could do nothing to inherit eternal life within ourselves. There's nothing good within us. There's none good, no, not one. But I'm glad it does not count on my merit and on my good works. Mercy is on him. Amen. We're not consumed because of the mercies of God. We looked at that this morning. Every morning I wake up, it's because of the mercies of God. Every prayer that God hears, it's because of his mercies. Every blessing I enjoy, it's because of his mercies. The salvation that I have, it's because of the mercies of God. He recalls his mercy. Number two, here's what I want to pick up at tonight. He not only recalls his mercy. Notice this, number two. He recalls, look at your Bible. He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. He said, I think about the mercy of God, but I think about the compassion of God. The compassion of God. Jeremiah moves from God's mercies to God's compassion now. Mercy reminds us, stay with me. Mercy reminds me that God does not give me what I deserve. Compassion reminds me that God cares about what I am going through in my life. Mercy again reminds me I didn't get what I deserve. But the compassion of God reminds me that we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Thank God he knows what we're going through, and he not only knows what we're going through, he cares about what we're going through. And he not only cares about what we're going through, he loves us in the midst of what we're going through. Think about this. Jeremiah had experienced tremendous suffering, but his suffering did not mean that God had stopped loving him. We desperately need to remember this. Can I say it here? We desperately need to remember this. Pain is not proof that God has stopped loving you. Difficulty is not evidence that God has abandoned you. A valley does not mean God's compassion has fled. Jeremiah said his compassions fail not. The word compassions carries the thought of tender love and pity. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. When I think about the tender love and the pity of God towards me, amen. Hey, when I think about his love, and I think about his pity towards me, listen to what he said in Psalms 103.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God is not indifferent to our sufferings. Listen to what he said in Psalms 34. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. When your heart is breaking, he is near. When you're hurting, he cares. When nobody else understands, he understands. And nowhere do we see God's love and compassion more clearly than at Calvary. What did he say? Romans chapter 5, he said this, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What did he say in John chapter number 3? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he recalls the compassion of God. God loves me today. God shows pity to me today. He recalls his mercy. He recalls his compassion. Number 3, I want you to see this, and this one really helped me when I was studying. Look at verse number 23. They are new every morning. They are new. His mercy, he said, when I recall to my mind the very mercy of God, when I recall to my mind the very compassion of God, but when I recall to my mind the consistency of God. Some people, the only consistency they have is no consistency. Are you with me right there? Some of you understand what I'm saying. But when we think about God, can I just say something? He is a consistent God. When I woke up this morning, he was God. Amen. When I go to bed tonight, guess what? He'll be God. When I wake up in the morning, guess what? He'll be God. Guess what will happen if the Lord doesn't come back 50 years from now? He'll be God. He's God. He always will be God. Verse 23 said, they are new every morning. Jeremiah does not simply say God's mercies and compassions exist. He says they're new every morning. Every morning I wake up, I enjoy the mercies of God. Amen. Every morning I wake up, I enjoy the compassion of God. Hey, every morning, I wish you'd get a hold of what I'm preaching to you. Every morning I wake up, guess what? There's the love of God. Every morning I wake up, guess what? There's the mercies of God. He let me sleep through another night. He let me wake up again. Every time I hear my children wake up and begin to laugh or begin to fuss or begin to cry, guess what? I'm reminded of the compassion of God and the mercies of God. He is a consistent God tonight. He's never failed us. He never will fail us. I promise you, you can count on him. He will remain faithful. He said they're new every morning. Every morning Jeremiah woke up surrounded by the evidence of destruction when you study this book. By the evidence of destruction. But every morning he also woke up surrounded by God's mercies and compassion. Can I just say this to you? You may wake up in the morning surrounded by destruction. You may wake up in the morning to the worst phone call you've ever got in your life. You may wake up in the middle of the night to the worst phone call you've ever got in your life. But can I say something? When you do that, you're also waking up to the very mercy of God and the very compassion of God. His consistency. Yesterday's mercies was sufficient for yesterday. And when Jeremiah opened his eyes the next morning, there was fresh mercy and fresh compassion waiting for that day. God had not run out. God had not changed. God had not become less compassionate overnight. There was new mercy for every new morning. That's a consistent God. Matter of fact, Malachi said this, I am the Lord and I change not. Hebrews said this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. James said this, the Father alights with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Everything around us changes. People change. Circumstance change. Our health changes, finances changes, relationships changes, our emotions change. But I can promise you one thing that ain't going to change. That's the God I serve today. He'll be the... Oh, yes, He's the same. He said, I recall His consistency. He said, I recall His consistency. Let me show you. I got several more things I could say there, but I'm going to skip it. His mercy, His compassion, His consistency, number four. He said, I recall His faithfulness. I recall His faithfulness. You say, preacher, it's the same thing. Well, stay with me just a second. I think we can see a little difference in it. He said this in verse number 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great. You know what he could have said? They are new every morning. His faithfulness is good. Listen to what he said. Being led by the Holy Ghost, I believe in the inspired word of God. Amen. Jeremiah is penning as the Holy Ghost is talking to him. And when he comes to the faithfulness of God, here's what he says about the faithfulness of God. It's great. Matter of fact, I can't help but to wonder if Jeremiah hadn't eaten a little bit of cereal from Tony the Tiger when he wrote it down. Some of y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but some of y'all remember commercials in the 1900s, and it wasn't just great. He said, it's great. You know what Jeremiah is saying? When I think about the compassion of God, and I think about the love of God, and I think about the consistency of God, and I think about the faithfulness of God, the only thing I've got to say about it is it's great tonight. God is a great God. His love is great. His compassion is great. His mercy is great. His grace is great. His loving kindness is great. He's just a great God. Oh, yes. Notice Jeremiah does not say that his circumstances are great. Notice Jeremiah does not say that the destruction is great. Jeremiah says God's faithfulness is great. Everything Jeremiah could see seemed to be falling apart. Do I need to preach an hour from this morning? Everything, remember what I preached this morning? Everything Jeremiah sees right now is falling apart. Jerusalem had failed. The people had failed. Kings had failed. Leaders had failed. The nation had failed. But you know what Jeremiah says? When I recall to my mind. Amen. When I recall to my mind the compassion of God. When I recall to my mind the grace of God. When I recall to my mind the consistency of God. Here's what I've got to say. His faithfulness, it's great tonight. Deuteronomy said this in chapter 7. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God. Deuteronomy said this in chapter 32. He is the rock, His work is perfect. Here's what he said in Jeremiah or in Joshua chapter 21. There failed not out of any good things which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Here's what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Here's what he said in 2 Timothy 2. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny thyself. You say, preacher, what are you saying? He's faithful when I don't understand Him. He's faithful when I do not understand what I'm faced with. He's faithful on the mountain. He's faithful in the valley. He's faithful when every prayer I'm praying is being answered the way I want it. He's faithful whenever prayer I'm praying is not being answered the way I want it. He's faithful when the sun's shining. He's faithful when it's raining. He's faithful when it's snowing. He's faithful when there's a tornado in your life. He's just faithful. He's faithful. I thought about this. Jeremiah standing on the rubble of Jerusalem and says, great is thy faithfulness. It's easy to say God is faithful when everything's going well. There's something powerful about standing in the middle of the ruins and saying God's faithful. Something different about standing when everything's went backwards in your life saying God's still good. Here's what he recalled to his mind: his mercy, his compassion, his consistency, his faithfulness. I know I usually alliterate everything, but I just wrote it down the way the Lord gave it to me this time. And I say it this way, number five. His portion. He recalls to his mind. It's interesting because a lot of people drop off in verse 23 and don't go to verse 24. Look at verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. That's an important verse. They all are. Somebody say amen. But man, I'm telling you, that's an important verse right here. I see this. His mercy, his compassion, his consistency, his faithfulness. But he said, when I recall his portion, I think that this may be the greatest realization Jeremiah comes to in this entire passage. Jeremiah had lost almost everything around him. Now I'm coming in for a landing. Stay with me. Jeremiah had lost almost everything around him. Jerusalem was gone. Temple was destroyed. The nation was devastated. The future looked uncertain. But Jeremiah realizes, I may have lost much, but I have not lost God. I may have lost much, but I have not lost God. And Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion. The word portion speaks of one's share, one's inheritance, or one's possessions. You know what he's saying? He's saying my possessions is in him. I share him. What he has, he shares with me. Jeremiah's hope was no longer anchored in what he possessed. His hope was anchored in who possessed him. If you ain't heard nothing else I've said tonight, listen to what I'm fixing to say. Jeremiah's hope was no longer anchored in what he possessed. His hope was anchored in who possessed him. See, it's not what I possess, it's who possesses me. The psalmist said it this way: whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Habakkuk reacted in a similar condition or a similar conclusion and says this: although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, yet I will rejoice not in my circumstances. He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There may come a time when everything you thought you could depend upon is taken away from you. But if you still have God, you can say, therefore have I hope. If you've still got Him, you can say, therefore have I hope. Jeremiah begins, Brother Ben's coming to the piano. Jeremiah begins this passage saying, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. But just a few verses later, he says, therefore will I hope in Him. What changed? What changed? I said from the very beginning this morning when I read the text, there was a change. Jerusalem had not changed. The rubble was still there. The destruction was still there. The problem had not disappeared. But Jeremiah remembered something in the middle of the rubble. He recalled to his mind the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the consistency of God, the faithfulness of God. And he closes by saying, I remember his portion. The Lord is my portion. Therefore will I hope in him. I don't hope in the portion of someone else. I hope in him. I don't hope in my circumstances. I hope in him. People will come and people will go. Good times will come and good times will go. Mountains will come and mountains will go. Valleys will come and valleys will go. But God will remain consistent through every bit of it. I read this story. I'll give it to you in closing. There was a story told about an earthquake that struck Armenia in 1988. That morning, a father named Samuel had taken his young son, Armand, to school. before leaving him, he reminded his son of something. He had apparently told him many times before. He said, "Son, no matter what, I will always be there for you." Hours later, a powerful earthquake struck the area. When Samuel reached his son's school, the building was nothing but a pile of rubble. Samuel remembered where his son's classroom had been at one time, walked to that area and started digging. He pulled away a beam, then a rock, then another piece of rubble. Little by little, people came by and told him it was hopeless. Other parents eventually left. Even a firefighter tried to convince him to stop, but that father just kept digging. He dug through the night and into the next day. Finally, as he moved another beam, he heard a faint cry. Then he heard one word, "Papa." Samuel began digging furiously until he could finally see his son. He told Armand to come out, but the little boy said, "No, let the other children come out first because I know you'll get me, Dad." And when Armand finally came out, he told his father that while they were trapped beneath all the rubble, he had told all the other children not to worry. His father said, "Why?" And here's what he replied back. "Because, Father, you made me a promise. I'll always be there for you." That little boy was surrounded by rubble. He couldn't see his father. He couldn't hear his father. He didn't know how his father was going to get to him. But he knew his father's character. And he knew his father had made him a promise. "No matter where you're ever at, I'll be there for you." Can I just say this to you? There's going to be times in your life where you can't necessarily see God. There's going to be times in your life when you think literally all hope is gone. I've stood with you, some of you sitting in this room, and had you look at me and go, "I can't do this." For me to reply back to you, just because it's what we're supposed to say, "I know you can't, but we can with the Lord's help." Can I just say something to you? We say that sometimes just out of habit, but it's true. There's a lot of things that we can't handle on our own. There's a lot of things that we can't deal with on our own. But aren't you thankful tonight when we recall to our mind, in the midst of the rubble, in the midst of the heartache, in the wee hours of the morning sitting at the hospital waiting on a doctor to come out, when we recall to our mind the faithfulness of God and the mercies of God and the compassion of God and the consistency of God, you know what it does? Something rises up deep down inside of us and says, "You know what? I do have hope in the midst of a hopeless situation." I thought about this through the songs today. Matter of fact, I asked Brother Ben what they was going to sing tonight, and he wouldn't tell me. He said, "You got up this morning and said you didn't know what we was going to sing, so I ain't going to tell you tonight either." And I thought about this. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the sovereignty of God. And I believe before the foundations of the world was ever laid, God knew what would happen at Amazing Grace today. I believe that. You said, "Preach, I'll argue that with you." You're not going to argue with me because I'm not going to argue with you. I got a whole lot more Bible to back up what I'm saying than I promise you than you do. I'm not going to argue the fact with you. But before the foundations of the world was ever laid, God knew who would be sitting on the seats today. God knew the songs that would be sung today. And God knew the messages that would be preached today as long as we done according to His will. Amen. Man still has a free will in it. And I thought about this as they were singing tonight. I knew what the conclusion of the message was. They didn't, but I did. You didn't, but I did. I just can't help but to wonder if God just didn't pass by today through the songs and through the preaching just to say to some of us, "Everything's just fine. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm still God. I'm still in control. Man, just look back over the past week. Two saved, people baptized, $17,000 offering to go towards our building. This I recall to my mind. This I recall. You know what you need to do? Just need to remember and recall those good times. I was sitting, I'll give you this and we're going home. Eat a pancake or an egg or something. I think Miss Leslie said something about chicken wraps tonight. I'll have another dream if I eat that. You that was here the other night understands that. I hope it ain't like that and I had the other night, man. I'm telling you, I died and it was awful. Leslie took my wedding band from me. But anyway, I thought about this. The consistency of God. Just staying faithful. Just staying with it. I really believe it's what God just wanted us to hear today. I'm still here. No matter how dark it is. I wish I could share every story that's setting in this room tonight, but I can't. I can't. But aren't you glad that in the midst of those hopeless times, we can look back and recall what He has done? Several years ago, when I was still with the sheriff's office, I was sitting in my office there. And they give out a call on the radio, and the chief walked into my office, and he said, "Hey, did you hear that?" And I said, "I did." He said, "Come on and go with me to it." And I said, "Okay." And I got in the vehicle with him. We drove to the call. Whenever we got there, Brother Aaron EMS had already got there, which is several other deputies got there before we did, and confirmed that it was a code blue. It was just a tragic situation. And I walked in the house, and I walked up to the family, and I said, "Hey, I'm Chaplain Barker with Surrey County Sheriff's Office." And I said, "I just want to let you know I'm thinking about you, and I'm praying for you." And they said, "Thank you." And I said, "Well, I'll be around. If you need anything," I've never pushed myself on anybody. "If you need anything, you let me know." And they said, "Would you just stay here close to you?" He's an older lady. And I said, "Sure." We sat there for a little while and just talked. And that chief walked up to her and said, he got down on his knees in front of her. Said, "How long was you married?" And she called, it's like 55, 60 years. Said, "How long was you married?" She told the amount of time that she was married. And he looked at her, I'll never forget, he looked at her and he said this, "Tell me your favorite memory of your husband. Tell me your favorite memory." And that lady sat back in that little old chair and a big smile came across her face. And she started laughing a little bit. And she told us the story. And then she looked over at me when she got done. She said, "Would you come pray with me?" And I said, "I'll be glad to." Sometimes in the midst of tragedy, we just need to recall some things to our mind. God's always been there, church. It don't matter where you're at. He's always been there. And He always will be there. Sometimes He doesn't calm the storm. Sometimes He calms me. Hope you got what I just said. It's not all the time that He calms the storm, Brother Mike. But He does, Brother Robert, just slide up right beside of us and say, "It's all right. It's all right. Everything's just fine." Hope in the midst of a hopeless situation.